All right, you are in for a treat today because you're going to meet two people that are really special in the fact that they're a husband, wife team, and I would venture to say that you will not find better a pair of more accomplished multi-species anglers than these two, and I'm going to show you here a lot of evidence to back that up. But we're going to do a podcast today with Devoted Outdoors' John and Ashley Holmgren. They are going to have a show coming up soon on Bally Sports, and I'm really excited to talk to you guys. Let's get into it.
This isn't another fishing podcast. This is another fishing podcast.
I talked about how amazing you guys are as multi-species anglers. And I'm going to, as we're talking, I'm going to bring up imagery that's going to show that. I got this stuff off your Instagram account, and which is very impressive. I must say, like, the amount of species that you guys catch on a consistent basis, I don't think I've seen anybody produce the kind of fish catches that you guys are doing, especially a husband-wife team. So I guess first and foremost, before we get into your TV show, how did you guys, how did you meet? I guess that's the first question that, you know, that we should, you know, get an answer to.
Well, we were working at Keith's Pizza, a little pizza joint in town, and I was a waitress and he was a delivery boy. Yep. And actually the first time that we met and started talking, I was heading out to the deer stand bow hunting and by myself. And I remember that stuck with John. He was like, "Oh, really? Like," she said, "no, bow hunting. Okay." And so we just got to talking and realized that we had a lot of the same things in common. We both, were raised in hunting and fishing, and I know that we both really kind of had that same interest in mind to find somebody, and the rest was history, I guess.
Yeah, for sure.
What's your side of this story, John? Is that how you remember it?
Yeah, she hit it pretty much on the head there. I remember walking in and thinking, well, she's pretty darn cute, and then we got to talking, and of course, then she said she was going bow hunting, and I actually was like, "You going with your boyfriend, or are you?" And she's like, "Nope, going by myself." And I was like, "Well, definitely putting a ring on that one." So
yeah, you definitely have to strike while the iron is hot. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So yeah, very, very smart. I know exactly. The same goes for my wife as well. I was like, we gotta get this wrapped up here put a ring on it, so to speak. But how did your guys's love for fishing develop specifically? This is a fishing podcast, so you guys obviously are hunters too, but like fishing wise, when did this love of fishing develop for you? How did it also develop?
Yeah, I mean, for me, I grew up on Lake of the Woods, the famous Lake of the Woods. I was fortunate to grow up there, and my dad was a very avid angler, and he brought me up that way. My mom was also into it very much so for me, having a mom and dad that actually were together and loved the outdoors the way they did, we grew up doing everything. I grew up way up in the middle of nowhere up on the Canadian border, and so all we really had to do was to I'd come home from school and I'd grab the 22 and that, and then it just kind of developed into that for me, and the whole fishing side. That's kind of where that came from, the background of my parents doing it. So they brought it up with me, and that's kind of where I got it from. So
yeah, and I think for me, like, I was an only child and my dad grew up doing all of that, so I was his little wingman, I guess. Like, growing up, I would just be right by his side doing everything. He taught me how to hunt, fish, do everything, trapping. He was a taxidermist, so I remember sitting in the basement watching him mount fish and deer and everything. So yeah, I give a lot of credit to him. And honestly, I have a big network of family, even grandparents and uncles and everybody that would, take me out throughout the years and just really instilled that love.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love hearing that. I always ask that question, in this podcast, like how, people got started fishing. And I always find that, really interesting. Like, I think it's important to get that foundation set, just like, because it's so, like, anybody that has a love of fishing, it seems to be like there's a common thread typically, you know, we all kind of get into it in a similar way. Like, for me, like, it wasn't my family for me. It was more like my buddy and I we were just eaten up with animals, right? So we, yep. one day we learned that we could catch animals in the water, and then it just went, you know, and it just, yeah. You know, and what's exciting is it seems like there's more young people understanding just how amazing it is to, like, you know, go after a fish, be successful hooking a fish, the fight and everything that goes into the whole fishing game. Like, it seems like there's much more interest in like youth. Like, they, like, I, when I was growing up, fishing was not cool. I mean, I thought it was cool. I thought it was cool, but like generally, my high school, it wasn't a cool thing to do, you know. Now it seems like kids, it's like, okay, they're getting it, why it's so darn fun, and I love seeing that. And so I always like to ask that question, this podcast, just, you know, what is, like, the origin story there, the genesis of your love of fishing? Because I think it's something that really kind of binds fishermen together, you know. Just like when that, catching that first fish when you're a kid is just like, it's so exciting, you know. Like, I think most kids, if they were introduced to fishing correctly, I think most kids would be into it. But I don't know. I wanted to ask too, like, so, you know, you guys are, like, huge. You know, your family is very involved. This is a big part of what you guys are doing with your show. You know, you have these two beautiful daughters. I'll bring them up right now. This is, you know, nice. Can you guys see that? Can you see that picture?
Yeah.
This is okay. Cool. Yeah. And so, what's that like? You know, bringing them into the sport, and are they just, like, they look like they're as eaten up as you guys? Like, these two are gonna be a force when they grow up on the fishing scene.
I think it's exactly that, you know, just the memories that we had as a kid, we want to just make sure that we give the same thing to our family. And, you know, our show really stands for that. It's not just, you know, one of us fishing or two of us fishing, it's all of us fishing, you know, it's our whole family getting involved. And, you know, we just want to promote that for families out there that might think it's hard to get kids in the boat. And yeah, it's not always the easiest thing, of course, you know, but get them out there, get them involved, get them excited about fishing, you know, everything in the outdoors. It's, you know, you can't beat it, really.
Yeah, no, I mean, we, like Ashley said, we think it's super important to be able to have them, you know, be raised, you know, the way we are. And there's a lot of really good life lessons to be learned in the outdoors. I mean, and we truly stand behind that. And, you know, that's really what we are aiming to do with our show, is to help promote the family, the husband, wife, the family side of fishing, because it is important. And like you said earlier, like, if kids were to be introduced to it the proper way, you know, they'd probably absolutely love it, every one of them. And that's kind of what we're trying to aim to do with the family side of things too, is if you introduce it to the family the proper way and you learn how to overcome some of the challenges, it's really not that hard, and you can just make it fun. And it's just, it's a really, really cool feeling to share that with the kids and grow as a family outdoors.
Yeah, like, any more, you know, I'm not going to get into politics here, because if I did, I mean, YouTube might take down this whole podcast. So we're not going to get into politics, and we're not going to get, you know, we don't. But I will say, like, especially now, I've always felt families, you know, very, very important to me. It's like the glue that holds a society together. You know, it's super important, and, like, I think now more than ever, you know, it's family and that bond and that connection, the community. It goes, it's just, the next level is the community. It's family, then the community, like, as a whole, you know. And I seen what you guys are doing, it even kind of has more of an impact on me now. Like, you know, this has been this has just been a crazy decade. It's, and I just think it's even more important, you know? So I really applaud what you guys are doing in that respect.
That.
Awesome. Thank you.
You know? Yeah. I mean, you look at like the COVID, what had happened during COVID, and honestly, if there was any sort of somewhat of a blessing that came out of that, you know, a lot of families actually got pushed into figuring out the outdoor stuff, you know, and it was kind of cool to see the big wave of people getting more involved in that. And it was kind of cool to actually see that happen.
Yeah. Yeah. No doubt. No doubt. So let's turn to your TV show. I've been doing TV since 2000, which is kind of like crazy. It's like, and I'm looking at myself and I'm just getting grayer and grayer. I still feel like I'm 12, you know? But you know, so I've been doing outdoor television for 23 years, you know, and so I'm interested in you guys, if I'm not mistaken, you're newer to the television game, you know, so I'm curious. I want to talk about that and just your impressions of making television, outdoor television. But tell me first how Devoted Outdoors came to be. Because that's probably a really, really cool story, I imagine.
Yeah, it actually started, I'd say it was probably about 7 years ago. Ashley and I just kind of sat down and we were talking one day and how we just, you know, talking about how cool some of the adventures and stuff that we do. And we're actually starting Devoted Outdoors because we thought, you know, one day we're going to be 85, 90 years old, hopefully sitting in a nursing home all crippled up and decrepit. We can't do the things we love to do anymore. And so we thought we'd be able to film these adventures together and then be able to actually play them back for our memory and be able to watch that. Not only that, but then also the kids would have something to look back at. You know, with the way video is nowadays versus like when we grew up back in the day, it's just so cool to be able to capture these moments and then to be able to relive them and to be able to just rewatch that stuff. It's truly just, it's crazy and it's awesome to be able to do that.
No doubt.
Where it started and the idea of what we had and that's kind of where we started off.
Yeah, no, I feel that way too. You know, I don't know how familiar you are with some of our stuff. You know, like this, I have been such an idiot with social media. Like, I'm so old school that I've been really stubborn, and I'm like, I'm gonna do it my way. I don't care, you know. And it's just like the growth is like nothing's happening. You know, it's just like I'm just very stubborn in that respect, but. I'm starting to get better at it, you know, now. I feel like this year, like, especially with, like, Instagram Reels, I've started to, like, figure that out, like, the algorithm with Reels, you know, and if you ever want to talk about that, I've learned some stuff that's pretty eye-opening that's really helped with you know, getting eyeballs on that stuff, you know, on your Reels on Instagram, But it's just like for me, more than anything, I'm not, and this is going to sound kind of stupid, like I'm not motivated by money. Like, obviously, I got to have food and shelter and, you know, but my, like, it's not my main priority. Like, I want to, you know, doing this stuff, it's almost like, it's kind of, maybe this is a bit pretentious, I don't mean it to be, but it's kind of like my art form, you know, it's like just me expressing myself. And like, when we started this Another Fishing Show, we may have filmed the first one in like 2012 and had no idea about social media. I was just like, let's just like document my buddy Pete, we've been lifelong friends. It's like, And we got each other into fishing. It's like, let's just document our stupid fishing adventures and I'll edit into something stupid, but we'll make it look like a TV show. And we'll just put it on the internet, you know? And it was more of like, I just wanted that out there. It's just my expressing myself, but it was also like for posterity and like, okay, we can look back on this and go, hey, remember that time we went to the lake and the GoPro fell in the water and we couldn't find it, and we, you know, and all that stuff. So it's really in that respect, it's really nice to have that to look back on, you know. But also just the fact there's times where, you know, I'm also a multi-species angler, and especially when you guys are in Bemidji, right? Is that where
yep,
you are?
You're,
yeah.
Yep.
So I'm in, you know, Southie. I'm in Buffalo. But it's, you know, we're surrounded. What's so great about being a Minnesotan is that you're surrounded by just amazing opportunities everywhere. If you're a freshwater angler, that's why the Lindners came up here from Chicago, and like everybody settled, you know, here in Minnesota, like that we're multi-species people because there's so many opportunities everywhere. And so, yeah. You know, so when I'm looking back on like, I'm like, okay, this time of year, I need to be starting to target this species now. But then I'm like, I can't remember exactly, you know, what was I doing that, you know? And I'll look back on a video, seriously. I mean, I'll look back on a video and go, okay, that's right. The water temperature was this, you know, and that's when they started. And, you know, it's really kind of helpful in that respect, too, that I've found. So I don't know if you guys have kind of found that at all.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, definitely. I mean, that's the thing, right? Like you start chasing all these species and stuff, and then you're pretty soon you get kind of into the habit of it after doing it for, you know, so long. But yeah, we were in the same boat, so to say, is like you look back, you're like, oh, yeah, what was the water temp? What was going on? And it really does. You can look back and you can see and learn from those videos, too.
So how did you started like on social media with Devoted Outdoors? And so how did it transition into a full-blown TV show on Bally Sports?
Well, I guess we just kind of started with posting pictures and starting some of the videos, and then we were pro staffers for CLAM, yeah. And so they kind of really started backing us up, and we started just kind of gaining traction, and it was basically just a big snowball effect. You know, a lot of people were approaching us, and we were reaching out, and just it kind of just all exploded, to be honest. And
right,
it's last year, yeah, has just been tremendous growth,
yeah,
for us.
It's been pretty crazy.
And yeah, so just this last year has been crazy, and we just know that it's just going to keep going from there, you know, with Bally and everything. So it's been really exciting.
We were fortunate
to be on, you know, we started with, I think CLAM was actually our very first pro staff opportunity. And then, you know, throughout the years, we just kind of, you know, gained traction, and other companies, you know, sought after it. And then we kind of got to this point to where we were making that decision. And it was cool because, you know, one thing that we really stand for with Devoted is that, like you said, we're not in it for the money. You know, if at some point we're hoping and we're getting very close to being able to make it into a living, then great. But honestly, more than anything, we want to be real. Like we want people to feel like they can come to us and come watch our shows and watch our videos and truly learn something, and understand that we're showing them products and stuff that actually made us successful, and that we actually truly stand behind them. Because one way, you know, the only way to promote something is truly to believe in it first, and then the rest just takes care of itself. And that's kind of our biggest thing with Devoted is, you know, we want it to be educational, and we want people to take, you know, good stuff out of it. So
yeah, absolutely. It's so important. You know, when I've done so much video production in fishing that I got to a point where I was like, I just can't handle another tip, right? Like I've done so much. But that is like the wrong attitude, you know. And it's kind of, I guess it's kind of understandable that I've filmed so many tips through the years, you know, that you know, you kind of get burned out in that respect. But it's super important that education be a real, you know, that it's got to be a real focal point of what you're doing in fishing,
yeah.
You know, because fishing can be complex, especially when you start getting better and you want to increase your odds of being successful out on the water. You really got to put your homework in, and you know, and to have the internet's great with that. You know, the fact that you can get on the internet and you can find out how to catch different species, different times of the year. It's just like education. I was a bit of a fuddy-duddy when I had that attitude. You know, like but it's super important, because the other thing too is that there's new anglers coming more so than ever. I would say
young
anglers getting into it. And so they need to know there's always a new crop of people getting into fishing. So, you know, it's important that education really be, you know, an important focal point, I think, of anything that you do just fishing wise. It's fun to have, you know, be stupid and entertaining and have all that part aspect to it. But you definitely, no doubt, their education needs to be a core part of that deal for sure. But I want to like show, you know, people. So just to give you an idea, if you're watching this on YouTube, I'm just going to go through some fish catches here that these guys are responsible for. So you just have an idea of you know, how impressive these two are. So first we have, so it's funny, like in Minnesota, we, like in the north, you know, we refer to hard water and open water, you know, like if you're from the south and you don't, you know, things don't ever freeze, like you don't have to make that differentiation, you know, it's like, but it really is something if you're, you know, if you're good at doing both, because they're both very different, obviously. Like it's, the fish are doing way different things that time of year, but then just to be successful drilling holes through 2 feet of ice and knowing, you know, how, you know what I mean? Like knowing the presentation. Yeah, the presentations are completely different. So just that aspect of being proficient at both open water and ice fishing, you know, is impressive, you know, just that in itself. But then you go into, you know, look at the species here that they're catching. So you got two big bull bluegills, right? They're hybrids. I always get so confused with, like, I'm like, I think, is there ever just like, how often you catch a true bluegill, or are you catching hybrids all the time? Like I'm terrible, like knowing, like I couldn't even tell you if I'm like, that is a full bred, you know, purebred bluegill. I'm like, yeah. I don't know. It looks like a hybrid. Do you ever like, how do you?
Yeah, no, those are bluegills for sure. Yeah, a lot of ones we catch are mostly just straight up bluegills.
Right on. Those are good ones. And then you have crappies. You know, got that under your belt. Know how to do that. Open water there, and then big smallmouth. I catch a lot of smallmouth on the Mississippi River up here, so I'm quite a fan. I always can tell, like for me, you notice you're getting into a different caliber of smallmouth when that tail, you know, like gets thick, like a sausage, you know? It's always like, I get very excited when I see that. And walleyes, yeah, they know how to do that too, of course. I mean, you know, you guys are Minnesotans, true Minnesotans. Yeah, lake trout, through the ice, they got that covered. Of all these species, what do you guys like targeting the most? Is it muskies?
yeah, it's muskies.
Yeah.
Right on. You know, the beauty is like, you know, like you said, being able to do ice fishing and open water fishing, I mean, truly, and doing all the species, you know, it's truly the zest of fishing. For us to be able to chase all the different species, because I mean, you know, honestly, if we focused on one species the whole year in open water, you know, a person could, you know, tend to get burnt out a little bit on that, but it just keeps it, you know, keeps the spice of fishing for us. It keeps you on your game and it keeps you on your toes and having to learn all those, you know, different styles of fishing and different techniques. So, you know, the challenge of that is truly what we're in it for. I mean, we just love a good challenge. We're both very competitive people. It's cool to be able to chase all those species. And we are very, very fortunate to live where we do. I mean, we have amazing fishing and our fisheries are phenomenal up here, and we're very lucky to have that. So,
yeah, I've been fortunate to be able to be in the boat and film a lot of, you know, film with Pete Mayna. Pete's a good buddy of mine, and you know, I've filmed a lot of musky you know, shows. Lake St. Clair is phenomenal musky fishery, but I would say just overall with the quality and quantity, at least it was, you know, I don't know, 5 years ago or whatever. Minnesota is just, it's, I don't think you can beat it with the quality, the numbers of fisheries. that Leech Lake strain of muskies that we have here, and that they're trying to stock everywhere else because it's such an amazing strain of muskies. So I think there's a lot of things fishing wise in the state that we're super fortunate to have these opportunities. Heck, you know, not far from me on the St. Croix River, there's a heck of a lake trout fishery, or excuse me, a lake sturgeon fishery. So, yeah. I mean, and it's like there, you can catch a lot of them some days, you know,
For sure.
Closer up to, you know, going up north, you have that lake sturgeon fishery on the Rainy River. But just to have a sturgeon fishery like that near in like basically the metro, it's just, you know, metro Twin Cities, you know, Minneapolis, St. Paul is really amazing. And then also, too, like there's amazing walleye fisheries around, you know, the cities here, too. So it's just it's one of those things where I feel very lucky to have, you know, I know you guys feel the same way, to have just all these opportunities. And if you're a fishing nut, it's fantastic. But also just for making content, you know. It's really, really good in that respect. So, and we cannot forget the beloved eel pout, or the professional call them burbot. So let's call them burbot. But, yep. You know, that is, I just love catching all kinds of fish. I fish, you know, in the springtime when the suckers are running, these beautiful red horse suckers, you know. So I'm all about catching everything. And I think burbot are... Look how beautiful that fish is. You know, look at the markings on that fish. It's a Bengal tiger, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
It's and so that's, you know, burbot, they spawn in like February. Correct me if I'm wrong in any of this. You guys are the pro multi-species. I mean, I'm hardly anywhere near where you guys are multi-species, but that, I mean, the best time to, I would say the best time to go after them is like late February, would you say? Is that, you know, through the ice?
Yep. Or,
yeah. And so they're related to the cod family. They are a member of the cod family, if I'm not mistaken. And they get big and they fight hard. They're super, super cool fish. So I was excited to see that you guys target those as well.
Yeah, it's cool to see that they're an up-and-coming fish now. I mean, they're even putting restrictions on them now, and they've kind of taken them off the... you know, off of that list of shame fish. So it's cool to see that they're gaining the respect that they are. And, you know, honestly, they're really delicious too. Yeah. So
yes, they are. They're a poor man's lobster, I guess they say, right? Isn't that the...
Somehow I developed a shellfish allergy in the last like 5 years. So unfortunately I can't eat that. And I love that stuff. And so this is, I guess, the next best
thing for me. Poor man's lobster.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Turning back to the show, so what are some of the things that you're surprised at with outdoor production, you know, television production, having a camera guy and, you know, that whole process of making a TV show? Is there anything that's really surprised you about that process? And you got to be honest. Be honest now.
No, yeah, no.
I think I learned that, like, sometimes it takes a couple takes to say what I want to say sometimes. So like I had to practice with that a little bit, and I've definitely gained, you know, cause I wasn't used to like having a camera in my face. So like just getting used to that a little bit, and just, you know, just being in your natural state of fishing. And then like after a few times it was like, oh, okay. You don't even realize it's there anymore. And then you're just fishing. So
yeah,
getting used to that a little bit.
I would say for me, it's, you know, kind of like we have the obviously now we have the truck and boat wrapped. Mm-hmm. And so for, you know, it's for us to have that attention. Like if you pull up to a gas station or something and somebody comes over and approaches you, and we're not really used to, or that type of people to where we like to be, you know, in the spotlight. So it's been kind of, that's been kind of something, but it's cool at the same time, because now, you know, we've kind of sat back and we talked about that, and we're like, you know, this is what we're doing it for. This is the opportunity to share our true story and to share the love of the outdoors with people. You know, sometimes when you're out on the lake and all of a sudden there's 5-6 boats on you, that's it gets a little crazy. But you
that
know,
darn,
I mean,
rap, you know, it's the rap. It's always the rap that causes all the issues.
But it's fun that like there's people out on the water a lot that we know just through like social media and stuff that we have no idea is even out on the water. So then they'll message us like, hey, we saw you. So it's like a really good opportunity to interact with a lot of people that we wouldn't know otherwise.
You
know? Same with like meeting them at a gas station or something. It's fun to be able to talk to everybody and meet people and talk fishing. So
yeah, and it's fun. I mean, that's why we're doing it, is because, you know, we really like, you know, we're people and we like being able to sit there and you know, talk fishing with everybody. So it is cool in that aspect. So
isn't it like, you know, a lot of people complain about social media, and there's plenty to complain about, right? But there's good and bad stuff with everything, you know?
100%.
Well, just the fact that we're doing this right now, like, I don't know, it would have been a lot harder for me to find you guys and to reach out, and, you know, and social media makes it so much easier. And I mean, I'm really thankful for that, you know, like we followed each other and I was like, I love what they're doing. I'm going to DM you. And here we are, you know, making those connections like that. I think I'm really excited about like that with social media. And I'm so old school. It took me a long time to realize that, you know, but now I feel like I'm okay. I'm finally getting into my groove of going, I just, you know, I'd reach out to people on Instagram. I'm really kind of focusing more on YouTube and Instagram, really just kind of trying to get that dialed in. I like Facebook and everything. It's like, first of all, I'm not a real big fan of Zuckerberg, you know, I'm like, you know, it's Zuckerberg's Instagram too, but what are you going to do? So, but there seems to be like a good, like, Instagram and YouTube jive together really well. Like a lot of people use those two kind of to promote, you know, if they're doing something on YouTube or, you know, promoting that, hey, I just released a video, you know, on my YouTube channel, you know, they use Instagram to promote that. I don't know. I like how that works.
It does. But it goes together very well.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. And that's, I mean, it's taken me a long time. I'm embarrassed to say that, but I'm finally kind of getting the groove just as far as like, okay, promoting, using Instagram to promote, but more stuff too. It's Instagram's, you know, you can do more than just promote stuff on there, but it's just a great way to connect, you know, with people, you know, like-minded people. And then whereas like I found out that like Nick Lindner is following me, you know, like a member of the Lindners, like the Lindner family. Like to me, the Lindners are like royalty, you know?
Yeah,
I'm like, why is he following me? You know, I'm like, that is so awesome. So I'm like to be able to go, okay, well, you know, you're following me, like we're following each other. Like I would love to have a conversation with him, you know. You were talking about earlier, it's just fun to have conversations with people that have the same passion that you do. You're already on the same wavelength, at least in that respect, and just having a conversation, you know, I've been very fortunate to have, you know, to talk with people that I looked up to, like, for instance, like Gary Parsons growing up, you know, and Keith Cavias and Kevin Van Dam, like, as I've done these jobs, like having conversations, deep conversations with these guys as we're going to a body of water, you know, and just talking about everything, you know. Mena and I have had great conversations, long conversations, and just solving all of the world's problems, you know.
Yeah.
And that's kind of like what I'm trying to do here just with this podcast. And, you know, and just the long form podcast in general is just really great for that, where you can just, you know, you can just take some time and I'm basically just ripping off Joe Rogan is all I'm trying to do here. It's like I'm trying to do like everybody's probably doing that. I mean, that's all I'm doing. I'm just like it's like a fishing Joe Rogan is all I'm trying to do right here. You know, a podcast, but it's, I don't know. I'm really, you know, as much as there's negative about social media, there sure is a lot of positives to it. You know,
there is, it's the same with anything. I mean, if you use it properly, it's an awesome tool. It's been a really big, a really good tool for us for networking with the show and stuff like that. And none of that, you look back 15, 20 years ago, and it would take us years to get to where we're at now versus what happens with the power of the internet. So,
yeah, I mean, I've got a couple of, and trust me, like getting views has never been something I'm very good at. Like since I've started doing social media, it's like, but this year on Instagram, I've had reels. I've had two reels that have had over a million views. And that does wonders for your follower count, by the way. It's like all of a sudden you see this thing just start taking off and it's like, whoa. And like to think, you know, like that's really powerful, you know, to be able to reach that many people, to have that interaction with that many people. And I just think that's really exciting. I'm
for sure.
I really like that aspect of social media. But what I wanted to ask you back to the TV show. What is it like and I've seen this just my own, you know, through the years filming, and I understand it as a fisherman. We're kind of, as a videographer and as the talent, you know, the anglers that I'm filming, there's always a little bit of tension because I'm like, okay, I got to get a TV show out of this. I have to have certain things that need to happen. You know, I can't just start recording. I only have so much card space, or when I first started, I only had so many tapes. So there's a certain amount of like, okay, you can't just start fishing right now. You know, I got to get, you know, have you found that to be frustrating at all? Or like what has been your experience there with having to deal with like the videographers and like, you know, you guys are probably just gung ho, let's do this. But there's certain things that you got to get the mics on you. You got to make sure you had good audio. That's the thing that people don't realize. It's not just video. It's like the audio has to be good, you know, and that can be a real pain at times.
Audio is make or break, I think, of any show.
For sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think just good equipment and then just making sure we kind of have a checklist, basically. We kind of have a routine down where it's like, all right, this, mics, batteries, we got, you know, just all the whole list before we go anywhere. And once we get out on the water, we're like, okay, this, boom, boom, boom. And get a game plan together even before we start filming. We're like, okay, so this is the goal for the show, and this is how we want to do this, and you know, that sort of thing. Just kind of mapping it out together and knowing that direction before we start really helps.
Yeah.
Did you, like, so when did you guys actually start filming for, you know, typically when I was shooting like The Next Bite? And so The Next Bite, if you're unfamiliar, so The Next Bite is Gary Parsons. Keith's no longer with The Next Bite anymore, but it's Chase Parsons and I'm forgetting Corey Sprengel. I'm adding some emphasis on Sprengel. That doesn't. I'm sure he would be happy that I'm doing that. But the thing is like. I've just lost my train of thought, which happens on long form podcasts. I had a point where I was going with it'll come to me, but what was I going to say? Goodness gracious, this is what happens sometimes, especially when you have bright lights on you. But no, it's working with those guys, and you know, there's more that goes into like doing a TV show that people realize, and I've just done a lot of video production, and it's Gary's been doing it for a long time. He's got a lot of experience there, but it is interesting to just hear from you guys, like being new to it, your impressions of it. And oh, this is what it was. Here it goes. So we would film typically like the year before for the following, you know. So we'd be like, for example, shooting in the summer, shooting in the fall, and that stuff would then air the next spring, or, you know, like the first quarter, I think we were, and the second quarter is kind of how it was. But we were shooting last year for the next year's shows. Is that kind of how you guys are doing it? What's been your shoot schedule?
I mean, we filmed last ice season and then last summer just for the first year, but then we've also been filming a lot this summer as well for different episodes. So with was kind of to our advantage because we really just had a big bank of, you know, shows put together that, you know, some we had released to YouTube, some we kind of held on to. So we really picked the best of our best of what we filmed. Like, okay, this is the lineup. This is what we want when we get to Bali. So.
Yeah. Gotcha. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Has
and our goal is to shoot basically within the year. Mm-hmm. Our ultimate goal is to get to, right now we're at 13 episodes and our ultimate goal is to get to 26. So.
Okay. That's what I was going to ask you. How many episodes are you doing? So with the next bite, it was, I think we were doing 13 episodes a year.
Yep.
Was what it was. So that's ambitious. 26 is, you know, and I mean, I respect it. I mean, it's almost like a Gillespie, you know, like John Gillespie's like, which is just what a madman. Like I can't get over John Gillespie. He's like doing, and he's, by the way, I don't know if people know this. He's editing all those.
I know. Shoots it. I think he shoots Monday, Tuesday, or Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, edits Wednesday, Thursday, and turns it in on Friday.
That's amazing.
That dude is hardcore, man.
Yeah.
I'm telling you. Have you met John and
Never met him, but you know, you do watch his shows and it is, I mean, people don't understand what he really does. I don't think a lot of people don't understand that he's actually turning around, you know, almost 52 episodes a year.
Yeah. That's amazing.
And he, I mean, he burns it at both ends, man. Like I mean, it's everything is all out with him, you know?
Yeah.
And, Maina, I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't. I think, you know, Maina has been worried about his health, you know, in the past. And it's just like, because he just goes. And like, he's an impressive dude. Like, I can't imagine, like, you know, maintaining that schedule. But so I wanted to kind of get into, like, so what are you guys, as you're going through the year, what are you guys kind of schedule-wise, what do you guys like to target? Like, tell me about your year, right? And what are you, like, hitting? Like, January. Okay, January's the month where we do this. You know, January's like, okay, we're going to target walleyes, you know, and Lake of the Woods. I don't know. Like, is it each month do you have a specific species that you're like, okay, we're going to really hit this hard? And as you're going through that, if you can offer any kind of – you know, insights to people on maybe how they can catch those species during those times of year.
Yeah, I mean, starting off in January, that's opener of trout up in Canada, up in Ontario. So that's kind of typically when we want to do our trips through the ice for lake trout up there. We typically go around the Nestor Falls area. We fish crow and roan, and we fish Whitefish Bay. And so we fish a bunch of different lakes around there, and we're targeting those fish typically on points and reefs off of the deepest part water that you can find, with tubes and vibration baits and jig heads with plastics, you know, stuff like that. So that's kind of our January.
That starts in January, And then we last year went to Winnipeg, so I know that we're going to be doing that again this year.
Yeah, chasing big green bass.
Yeah.
That
was
I mean, every single one that came through the hole, you were just like, whoa, because they're just, it looks like somebody blew them up with an air compressor. Yeah. They're just like, not real.
Yeah.
So definitely going to do that again this January. And it's basically a big bowl out there. You know, we were just chasing schools around, marking them on live and kind of finding where they were. We found a big school of, you could definitely tell the size wise, some really big ones on our last day last year, and so we kind of have somewhat of an idea where we want to start next year. And but that's our January for the most part. And then into February, you know, more lake trout,
eel pout
towards the end of February when that spawn starts to happen. You know, we find them on humps off of like 30 to 40 feet of water up until about 10 to 12 somewhere in there. They're just basically big bait balls all on top of each other up there. Yeah. And you want to find a female is what we really did last year, that we found a female that was into spawn. And so you'd find some males, the smaller ones, and then there was always a female up on top. So chasing those throughout the spawn, different areas, different ones.
Yeah. then March is kind of late season, you know, it gets into, it's still, I mean, obviously the last couple of years, obviously they can't even really consider that late season because it's gone all the way into, you know, way later. But, you know, typically that's a really good big panfish bite month. So we're chasing that. And, you know, we're kind of going, we'll go up to Lake of the Woods. It's a really good time to go to Lake of the Woods, my home body of water, and chase walleyes as well. But typically we're fishing those fish just in March. They're still, you know, kind of 50-50, though. The big panfish will be in the basins, or some of them are starting to move up into the, you know, into the weeds and stuff, the shallower stuff, getting ready for their spawn. So that's what we're doing in March.
April's kind of that.
Yeah, it's kind of a transition.
You know, we have gone over to
pike too.
Yeah, pike up in Lake of the Woods area that late season.
Yeah,
pike when the ice is coming off. Oh, that's always a really fun bobber bite. We like to just get big bobbers out there with a Cisco. Yeah. It's so fun because you just watch the bobber just slowly slide.
That's awesome.
Just lace into them.
Yeah, we do that. That's kind of something that we do that's kind of different. And that's actually, we're not going to let the full cat out of the bag yet, but growing up in World there's an opportunity there that very, very few people really know about right now. And I think once they see our show, I think it's going to become very popular very fast. So
we'll be doing that.
So we're going to be doing that in April for sure.
And we do try to hit Shawamigan Bay around springtime as well. You know, fishing browns and cohos, trolling shads and
shad traps. So in the open water and stuff. We love Superior. Superior is such an awesome fishery. We you know, so April, that's kind of one of the things that we're looking for towards the end of April into May. And then obviously walleye openers in May.
And spring, we get that early season bobber bite for panfish. We always get the kids on that bite right away. Springtime. And then lake trout, we always go up to
trolling lake trout.
Whitefish Bay area, trolling lake trout that time of year. And then that kind of takes us into opening muskie.
June opening muskie, that's the day that we look forward to every year. And then from June, July, August, September, October, we're fishing muskie.
That's awesome. So what about even into November? That's the crazy thing about muskies too, is like November. You know, it's like you can catch them on top water, like in November, like everything, you know, like most species is like, no, it's cold. There's no way that they're going to come up, and they don't. Like most species, like you can't catch a smallmouth, you know, in 40 degrees on a top water, you know, like that ain't going to happen. And yeah, muskies, no, they're like, yeah, no, that we'll hit a top water and that. Yeah, no problem. You know, I mean, I've seen it. I've filmed them. Like, okay, that's crazy. They're such a cool fish. You know, there's like, they don't care. They got no, they're not, you know, they're the apex predator. They don't, you know, there's no one, they're going to do their own thing, you know?
Yeah. It's hard to kind of like, you know, go through the seasons, but I mean, that's kind of just an outline a little bit, but for us, honestly, we're fortunate to have what we have around here, and we literally fish, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7 days a week sometimes. And honestly, we're chasing everything all the time, just different species throughout the whole year. And, muskies are at the top of our favorites to chase. They are the apex predator. They're, in our opinion, they're one of the toughest fish to catch in Minnesota waters. And we like that challenge. And it's just something cool because the muskie does something to us that a lot of, I mean, we love, don't get us wrong, we love every bite, and it's so exciting to get the new fresh bite all the time. But there's just something about chasing a giant muskie that just is what we really, you know.
I mean, you know, you're going after a lake monster, you know. These creatures will tend to, you know, little children will be frolicking in the water, and these monster fish will come up and attack. This happens all the time. You hear lake association, people in lake associations want to get rid of them because they're the killer whales of Minnesota, of the north, you know. So you just have to be very, very, of course, I'm kidding.
Yeah.
But it is kind of funny though. There's always those stories, it seems like every year where someone's overreacting about something, you know, a muskie did or, but it, you know, they are just like, they're super impressive fish. They get absolutely huge and they just eat enormous things. I think it's funny, you know, like you have to throw such big stuff, you know, like for them because they're so big. And they have massive teeth and they're just like, they're, you know, and so everything's so massive because you're just, they eat giant things and you just, there isn't a whole, that's kind of unique in freshwater fishing, at least in North America. So that's gotta be one of the reasons I'm sure why it's so fun to chase them, you know?
For sure.
Yeah,
for sure.
So what are the, and let's get, this is probably maybe the most important question of the night. What are the challenges working as a husband-wife team? There's got to be some challenges, right? Or no, you guys are always getting along well. There's never any disagreements. Any challenges, you know, as a husband-wife team working in the outdoors?
I mean, we're a pretty good team. Every now and then he'll try to, like, be like, oh, do this, do that, and I'll be like, I got it.
Yeah, I mean, like,
trying to tell me what to do sometimes. I'm like, what?
It is true. I mean, the guide in me, because I have guided for years, and that is one thing that's hard for me to, like, draw the line between remembering that I'm fishing with my wife and then remembering that I'm not fishing with clients. And for me, sometimes it's just like, I'm always sitting in the back of the boat just observing and, you know, watching what's going on. And sometimes I just catch myself forgetting that Ashley knows what she's doing and I don't need to, you know, help guide her into doing that. But I've gotten better at it.
He knows the look if we're filming it. He's like, all right.
So are you still guiding? Like, is that what you do, or is it a side thing, or like,
yeah,
what?
I've got my select clients that I take out that I've had for years now. I'm fortunate to have built that base up pretty quick, and honestly I've tapered off a lot from what I used to do. I used to do a lot of trips, and now I've tapered down because with the show and everything going on, and you know, I'm fortunate too that, you know, right now that I am a business director at a construction company as well too. So, that's kind of, you know, that's my main job, and we're kind of, you know, working with that, and it's worked out really well to be able to do both those. And so it's good.
What kind of trends are you guys seeing that you're excited about? Like, let's first just talk like open water. What are you seeing trend wise? I know everybody talks about forward facing sonar, and it's certainly amazing technology. What do you guys think about that? What any other trends that you see just in open water that you guys are excited about?
He's bringing up the forward facing sonar.
Well, hey, you don't need, I'm not trying to get stuck in that quagmire. If you don't want to go there, I'm totally, that was not my intention, but.
Total joke. We're kidding. It's just funny how it is, you know, it's a topic out there. That's a hot topic. And a lot of people either love it or you don't love it, or, you know, and what's funny about us is we're kind of in the middle, because the way we look at it is we don't, when it comes to muskies, we don't use forward facing sonar. That's just because it's just the way that we don't want to fish. We don't want to us, muskie fishing is grinding it out hard, figuring out the pattern and doing it the hard way. And that's kind of why we don't use it for muskie fishing. And not only that, but if it isn't, If you don't use it properly, it can be very dangerous for muskies. And it can be used properly. And if people use it properly and that's the way they want to fish, then more power to them. That's fine. We don't have a problem with that. And then when it comes to eating fish, you know, like walleyes and panfish and stuff like that, that aren't over deep water, and you can't cause barotrauma and you can't target these fish and make them eat out of deep water, that's in the springtime and stuff. Wintertime, it can be tough on fish too in the wintertime. So for us, we tend to use it with the knowledge that we've gained over the years of damaging fish and damaging resources, I guess you'd say.
Yeah, you're echoing pretty much the same. You know, I did a podcast with Mena not too long ago, and he basically said the same thing. You know, you're echoing the same sentiments that Mena has, you know, Pete Mena, related to forward facing sonar, you know. same concerns that he has, you're saying here. So are there any
technology?
Yeah. It's like freakish. I see it like, you know, filming bass tournaments and stuff, and like sometimes you'll get that shot of that fish, like the way that beam is hitting, where it's just like you see that just swimming away. It's like, oh my goodness, what in the it's like, not to be super nerdy here, but I imagine that's kind of like the same, like animals that use echolocation, that's kind of probably how they see the world using echolocation. It's like they're just getting an image, you know, through bouncing sound waves, you know, like dolphins or bat or anything. It's just like, it's probably a very similar to like forward facing sonar, you know, like it's really, really interesting to me. But so we're coming up, it's getting colder. Anything you're excited? I mean, you guys are amazing ice fishermen as well, but what are you seeing? Any seen any exciting trends or just trends in ice fishing that is you're particularly interested? What's anything there?
I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of new products always coming out.
Yeah, always.
You know what blows me away more than anything is just like, just in general, I guess, but everything is so, I mean, everything just like lure wise is so dialed in now, you know, like the hooks. Oh, yeah. I mean, like the hooks are super sharp, the attention to detail. You see it in the bass fishing world, but boy, it's come to the ice fishing world too, you know, and the packaging, it's just a great time to be an angler.
It's just exciting.
It's like, it's, you know, it's, it's amazing. Yeah. Everybody stepped up their game.
Yeah.
You know, like when I was into fishing, there were some really lame lures. Like everything was,
Oh, yeah.
But I still loved it. But I mean, like compared to now, it's like night and day, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't know. I see that with ice fishing. But so let's talk about your show and how people can find it. It is Bally Sports. But how? So I don't want to like I don't want to make people fall under the impression that I'm a bar fly. But when I am in bars, Bally Sports is on the TV all the time. Like every bar I'm in, Bally Sports is on, and there's, you know, the Lindners or there's someone, you know, fishing, and I love it. You know, I'm like, oh, that's, you know, so and so, and they're doing that, and so I think that's really exciting that you guys are on there. So kudos to you on that. But so when it like, how can people find Bally Sports, and then what time is your show going to be on?
Yeah, so Bally Sports, I mean, that's on a lot of local networks now. You know, like in Bemidji area here, we have Paul Bunyan. Paul Bunyan's a really big server across northern Minnesota here now. If you have Paul Bunyan, you get Bally Sports with that. You can also stream Bally Sports now. So they've offered that. So you can get, you know, the Twin, and the Twins play on it, the Wild play on it as well, too. So you get that whole package of the outdoors and your local sports. We are on Bally Sports North and Bally Sports Wisconsin. So it's going to be aired on both.
Okay,
so
good.
And our first air date is October 1st at 9:30 on Sunday. So
you got to, here's old school. You got to check your local listings for times and what's that?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's something like that, right? I'm kind of forgetting the last part there. But, and then how are you guys doing, I don't know what your contract is or how all that, you know, what your setup is there in that regard. But are you guys kind of like integrating both what you're doing with the TV show and your social media? Are you allowed to do that? Are you like, that's super, that's really, really great. Like, tell me that, like, because I mean, not only is this going to be great for your social media, but it's just like it's perfect for the TV show too. It's like it's a win-win situation.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So
So basically the way it's working is, yes, we have our show for Bally Sports, and then we're going to be taking in using social media to advertise for that first. But the beauty is we're shooting these shows, and most of these shows, I mean, we're capturing way more content. That's one thing that people don't understand is that we're capturing way more content on our trips that we take than what 19 minutes allows for beauty is then we have all this extra stuff that we get to use for social media and stuff. And then once they do air on Bally Sports, then we're going to be doing reruns on YouTube as well and on social media and stuff like that. So it's amazing with the new technology camera that we're fortunate to have and stuff like that. It's giving us the ability to use so much of this content for so many areas. And it all works together perfectly. So
how can people find you on social media?
You can follow our account, Devoted Outdoors, also on YouTube, Devoted Outdoors as well. We also have Facebook and any of those ways you can reach out to us.
Yep.
Well, awesome. I will be probably picking your brain, John and Ashley, on, you know, certain things on how to find fish. I might annoy you a little bit. I'm like, hey, just so I'm thinking about going musky fishing. You know, was wondering what you think I should do. I'm probably going to do that now. I feel like, you know, we're friends now. But it's really been a pleasure, and I'm really impressed with what you guys are doing. I'm impressed with you two. I think just as far as like just a husband wife team with your kids, like I said earlier, I just think it's very important what you guys are doing, more so than ever. So I applaud you for that. And again, super impressed with you guys, with your angling prowess. It's very, very impressive. I encourage anybody to check out their show, Devoted Outdoors, on Bally Sports, but also their social media. You'll see it on their Instagram. I follow their Instagram, and it is, you'll see immediately. I just showed you a very small sampling today of what these guys can do multi-species wise. I mean, I didn't show you any of the whitefish, yellow perch, trout, salmon, you name it. So I just want to thank you guys again for coming on another fishing podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. No, it was a pleasure. And we enjoy following your stuff as well, yeah, too. So it's pretty cool what you're doing as well. And it's cool to be able to team up with people that have the same interest of sharing information and being positive in the outdoors. You know, and that's our main goal, is keeping everything positive. There's too much of the opposite out there, and that's not what the fishing industry or the outdoor industry was ever created for. And you know, that's our main goal with it, is just to spread the outdoors the proper way. So
yeah, that's a perfect way to end. And also, I say this every time, and I, you know, and but I do mean this, I would love to run into you guys and go fishing sometime. You know, and yeah, there is like this, there's a really amazing lake sturgeon fishery near me. I just got two anchors down here, 18-pound Richter anchors, to really get secured well on into the St. Croix River, you know, and, on the bottom there, to hold to catch a mighty lake sturgeon, of which there are so many right near me. So that would be something, that would be something cool to do sometime. Maybe you guys want to do that, that I could offer, you know, so, but it's been a real pleasure talking with you guys, and hope to see you down the road soon.
Absolutely. Sounds good. Thanks for having us.